السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وحبيب ربنا وطبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: اللهم بارك لنا في شامنا، اللهم بارك لنا في شامنا، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected elders and brothers in Islam, through the passage of 13 years, year after year, alhamdulillah, we were giving report backs regarding Syria and the condition of the Muslims in Syria and the civil war that was taking place, or rather the jihad that was taking place in Syria for the liberation of Syria. Alhamdulillah, after those 13 long years, we can say with the fadl of Allah, with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can now speak about the liberation of Syria. And the fact that Syria has been liberated from the oppressive regime, the Assad regime, the Ba'athist regime. But there's a lot of work ahead. So this is not a message of what is happening in Sham, what happened in Sham, but rather it is a message of hope. Hope for the Ummah going forward. Just as Afghanistan had been liberated after so many years, 20 long years, finally it was liberated from the American forces and their allies. So alhamdulillah, this land as well, after 13 long years, has finally been liberated from those oppressors. And now it is the Syrian Islamic Arab Republic, alhamdulillah. Now this is a report back. Our team just got back a few days ago from Damascus. So this is a report back as to what is happening currently in the country, forward as well. So alhamdulillah, the Jamiat Ulama KZN was involved in humanitarian work, relief work, from the inception of this conflict. And it never wavered in its assistance of the Syrian people in Syria, and even out of Syria, people who were living as refugees in Turkey, in the southern border of Turkey, etc. Now the land of Sham, when we hear of the land of Sham, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for the land of Sham, Allahumma barik lana fi Shamina, Allahumma barik lana fi Yamanina, he made dua for those two lands in particular. Now what is actually the land of Sham? Where are the borders of the land of Sham? So the land of Sham or the Levant is a very wide territory and area. It is also the land of Mahshar, the land of gathering on the day of Qiyamah, the land of Sham. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the land of Sham regarding its blessings 5 times in the Quran and Majid in total. 5 times the land of Sham is mentioned as a land of blessing. And from those 5 times, one particular time, it refers specifically to the precincts of Al-Aqsa al-Mubarak in Jerusalem. So this land is definitely a land of blessings. Everything about it is blessed. The crops of this land is blessed. Perhaps the best fruit in the world one can taste is from the land of Sham. There's the fruit of Sham. There's no equivalent to the taste of the fruit of Sham, the vegetables of Sham, the crops of Sham, like in any other land. It is so beautiful, the crops. But there's another blessing of this land as well, that this is the land of jihad and ribat. 2 things. One, jihad we all understand, the land of jihad. And we must not feel shy to use this word jihad. It is mentioned so many times in the Quran and Majid, the word jihad. And here we specifically refer to not jihad of the nafs. Jihad fighting in the path of Allah. Waging jihad in the path of Allah. That's what's in reference to. And it's a land of ribaq, the land of guarding the frontiers of Islam, the borders of Islam. So many virtues have been mentioned in the ahadith regarding the virtues of guarding the frontiers of Islam. Time doesn't permit to go into virtues, but just in a nutshell, a person who's guarding the frontiers of Islam, the borders of Islam, it is as though that person is in ibadah day in and day out, night in and night out. This is the virtue. That eye which spends the night guarding in the path of Allah, that eye, that person is protected from the fire of Jahannam. This is the virtue of ribat. And we hear in the Quran Sharif, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اصْبِرُوا وَصَابِرُوا وَرَابِطُوا. That may guard the frontiers. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. And bring the consciousness of Allah. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. So coming back to the land of Sham. So the entire current modern day Syria, which had been carved out by the allied powers pre and post World War II, this entire land of Syria, it's part of the land of Sham. The land of Lebanon is part of the land of Sham. Jordan, Urdun is part of the land of Sham. Palestine, obviously, is part of the land of Sham. And they are parts of Turkey, basically Antakya, on the southern part of Turkey, Hatay, Diyarbakir, Gaziantep, Reyhanli, these are all parts of Sham. Diyarbakir alone, one of those towns in Turkey, southern Turkey, southern eastern Turkey, there are 36 Sahaba buried in one particular place in this land. 36 Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam buried there, resting, encompasses the land of Sham. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his lifetime, Sham wasn't conquered. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the only land outside the Arabian Peninsula that he traveled to in his life was the land of Sham. No other land. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on trade on behalf of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, who later became his wife and our mother. He traveled on her behalf as an agent, a trader. He went to the land of Sham. And then obviously in the Mi'raj, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was miraculously transported to Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak, and from there onto the seventh heaven. And we know the story of the Mi'raj. So how blessed is this land? It is said that not less than 100 Badri Sahaba, Badri Sahaba, the greatest Sahaba, after the Anbiya alayhim salatu was salam, the greatest men are the Sahaba ikiram. And among three Sahaba, those who fought in the battle of Badr, it is said that those are the greatest of Sahaba. And those Sahaba, not less than 100 of them set foot on the lands of Sham. So how blessed is this land? The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he advised that in times of difficulty, alayka bisham, that migrate to Sham, go away to Sham, in Sham this sanctuary. Tuba li Sham, Tuba li Sham, glad tidings to Sham. Why? Because arudullahi wa khassa. This is the chosen land of Allah, that special chosen land of Allah. And this is the land where the angels spread their wings over Sham. Now we may ask that if this is such a Mubarak land, and the angels are spreading their wings over the land of Sham, why is there so much of turmoil? It's natural, this question. Why is there so much of turmoil in the land of Sham? So much of trials and tribulations, whether it's Gaza. And by the way, how many of us are keeping track of what day number it is? Like I mentioned 2-3 weeks ago, that every day we should be remembering that from the 7th of October till today, how many days, 2023, how many days have passed. So just to mention it, that 656 days have passed. 656 days have passed since Gaza, the Tufan of Gaza. And the genocide that is taking place, that's also in the part, in the land of Sham. So this land is a land of trial. It brings about the best of men there. It gathers the best of men there. And among those men who lie in this land is Bilal bin Rabaha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who lies resting in Damascus. Khalid ibn al-Walid radiyallahu ta'ala. That sword of Allah, Sayfun min suyufillah, he is resting in the lands of Sham in Syria. And many, many other Sahaba, in Qabristan in particular, where these Sahaba are buried, Bilal bin Rabaha, the Mu'adhin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he left Madinatul Munawwara. He could not bear the separation from the Master, and he moved to the land of Sham. That was his choice of migration, as per the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there will be in future a very, very great war. What we are seeing is leading to the Malhama, the greatest, or we can say the mother of all wars. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that sanctuary at that time will be in a place called Ghouta. Ghouta is just 10 kilometers on the east of Damascus. And this is the place of sanctuary when that great Malhama and that great trial takes place. And this is a land of Salam, and his mother sought refuge as well in the place called Ghouta. So in a nutshell, this is, there are so many virtues of the land of Sham, but we want to present a report back as to what is happening. So alhamdulillah, today flights have now recommenced after so many years. So a person can go into Damascus, fly into Damascus via the various big airlines. And obviously we try to avoid at all costs Emirates, because of their allies with the Israeli Zionists and the aiding of the Israeli Zionists. So as much as we can avoid it, try to avoid it. So we use other airlines. Qatar flies there. Well, it may be a lesser of the evil, but there are other airlines. Turkish Airlines flies into Damascus also. There are many scheduled flights now coming into Damascus. So it's not difficult to land in Damascus. It's quite a decent, reasonable airport as well in Damascus. And Damascus is that place where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned it, even though it was not conquered in his lifetime. Particularly Damascus. And it was conquered in the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab. So as we sit today, the land of Syria has now taken a form of government. Alhamdulillah, those people who toiled in Idlib, a province of Syria is divided into 14 provinces. And on the north of Syria, on the south of Turkey, there's a huge province called the Idlib province. And in this Idlib province, this became a refuge for the Syrian people who were internally displaced. And not only those who were internally displaced, but for the Mujahideen who entered from across the world, from across the globe, whether it's the United States, whether it's Germany, whether it's Britain, whichever country one can think of, Maldives, whichever country, alhamdulillah, Allah gave those people the tawfiq to enter this land, to wage jihad against an oppressive zalim, a non-Muslim. So, current day Syria, there are basically four particular major religious denominations, or ethnic denominations. One are obviously the greatest is the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. They make up the majority of Syria. Then, secondly, the Shia, non-Muslim Shia. They make up the second. Then the third is the Alawi. Alawi is also a branch of the Shia, the Ismaili Shia. Completely out of the fold of Islam. Heretical beliefs. No deen in particular. And Asad belonged to this particular heretical group, the Alawi. And then the Christians. There are many Christians also. From the time of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Christianity prevailed in this land. So those are the four major groupings. So the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah is the major grouping. So alhamdulillah, this jihad was waged from Idlib particularly. When the Arab Spring, when the winds of the Arab Spring blew in 2011, starting in Tunisia, and it reached Dara. And throughout Syria there was an uprising, because the people were suppressed for too long. There was a time when people uprose against Hafiz al-Assad, not a Muslim, just the name is Muslim perhaps. And he slaughtered 30,000 Sunnis. 30,000 Sunnis were slaughtered mercilessly in cold blood by the father. And then the son came into power. So there was an uprising across Syria late 2011 and especially in 2012. Throughout Syria, and he tried to quell that uprising by force. And alhamdulillah, the Mujahideen gained many victories, and many areas succumbed. And finally, the equation, it tilted against the Muslims at that point. When Shia Iran got involved, when Shia Iran came in, then it tilted the balance, and that's when they gained strength against the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. In this complication of things, there was the ISIS that they had to deal with. That group, that Khariji group, ISIS, heretical group also, they had to deal with them, who were harming the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So there was difficulty. Then the Russians got involved in this war. Why? Via Iran, the Russians got involved. And unfortunately, according to the United Nations, after World War II, there hasn't been any catastrophe like what has happened in Syria. Approximately a million lives were lost. Innocent lives were lost in this particular catastrophe. Majority Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So alhamdulillah, this jihad was waged with a lot of sabr, with a lot of sacrifice. Much blood was given, life was given, sweat was given, wealth was given for this to be achieved. And alhamdulillah, on the 8th of December 2024, it was even beyond the comprehension of the mujahideen. Under Ahmad al-Shara, they call him Jolani, under him, may Allah protect him. And Allah strengthen him and the mujahideen. Under him, alhamdulillah, the initial operation was that only Halab. Halab is the second largest city, Aleppo, which is exactly 100 kilometers from the Turkish border. Many times we climbed on the mountains in Kilis, a town, border town, and from far we watched Aleppo, never thinking that we'd ever get into Aleppo one day. But when Allah makes something possible, the impossible becomes possible. It was beyond the mujahideen as well that they will one day conquer Damascus. So their sights were on Aleppo. In Aleppo, there were many atrocities in every town. When one drives throughout Syria, whichever part it is, one only sees destruction. Destroyed buildings. It's as though an earthquake ravaged the entire country. Destroyed buildings upon buildings. Minarets lying on their sides. Slabs lying over. One sees a multitude of destroyed buildings. And the particular targets of the Assad regime was hospitals and masajids. Those were two particular targets. They go for the masajid, they go for the hospitals. And alhamdulillah, on the 8th of December, initially it lasted 10 days. Initially it was just Halab. There's so much of detail to share. A Jummah bayan, one doesn't have sufficient time to explain directly from them that their sights were on Halab, not far from Idlib. And then Allah opened the victory for them, even beyond their own comprehension. City after city fell, surrender after surrender of the regime forces. And finally, alhamdulillah, they reached Damascus. They even allowed Al-Assad to leave. They even allowed this dog to leave to Russia, who fled to Russia. And they got into Damascus. And when they got into Damascus, the Jamia Masjid, the Umawi Masjid of Damascus, thousands of years old, beautiful. What a historical masterpiece, monumental masterpiece, the Umawi Masjid. And it is either in this masjid or further down. So they entered, and alhamdulillah, the Jamia, the Umawi Masjid, was finally liberated after 13 years. Salah took place in this masjid after 13 years. And the first 10 rows in this masjid were reserved for the mujahideen. It was reserved for them, for their sacrifices in liberating this country. We don't have much time to conclude. Alhamdulillah, this is a country now which has been established. There's aman, there's peace among the Syrian people. Even the local Syrian, even the Alawi who are there, they're not persecuted. Yes, those who participated, they are being hounded out for the atrocities they have committed. But in general, Christians and everyone else is coexisting quite well in the last 7 months in that country. Everything is functioning. The state apparatus is completely functioning. And in every way we see law and order systems in place. There are some difficulties commercially. For example, people still travel with huge bags of cash. because of the worthless Syrian currency. So if a person, we go to a hotel, there's no credit cards that operate. Everything operates with cash. Cash is king there. So you see a person with a whole suitcase of cash, walking around, even in the bazaars, walking around with cash. No fear at all. We can understand the aman, the safety there. While we were there, we were invited last week, Monday, we were invited to the defense ministry. The contribution of the Jamiatul Ulama hasn't gone unnoticed with the Syrian government, alhamdulillah. And not only the Jamiatul Ulama, but all the South African organizations that were working from inception, it hasn't gone unnoticed and is much appreciated. The contribution to the struggle, and not the struggle, but one brother, senior one in the government mentioned, the liberation of this country. You were instrumental in the liberation of our people. So we were invited to the defense ministry. Beautiful building, remnant of the Assad era. And on Wednesday, it was bombed by the Israeli jets. So what is the reason Israelis interfering in this country? First of all, it is not in the interest of Israel to have a peaceful Syria. And they will do anything to create mayhem and havoc in this blessed land. The southern part of Syria has got a province called the Suwayda province. And here there are 800,000 Druze who live here. Now who are the Druze? They're not Muslims. They look like Muslims, but they're not Muslim at all. So these Druze in particular, they are being funded by Israel to create a civil war, and they killed many Bedouins last week. Many, many Bedouins. As a result, the tribes from not only Syria, but also from Jordan, from Saudi Arabia, from Lebanon, they drove en masse to Suwayda to fight these Druze who were killing Muslims. The Syrian army obviously got involved, trying to protect its sovereignty, and that's when the Israeli jets came into Damascus and they destroyed the defense ministry and part of the presidential compound. It was basically a warning and a threat. It's very fragile, the situation. The Syrian government doesn't have anti-aircraft capabilities. The entire aircraft of whatever it was destroyed. Initially it was destroyed by the Israeli Air Force. Many of their hardware has been destroyed by the Israelis. So it's a very fragile country. It needs time. It needs our support. It needs our dua. It needs our funds to boost that economy as well. If we look at the province of Idlib, it's a successful economic model, that a country within a country. It became a fully functioning state within a state, where the Mujahideen set up a complete economic, it's an economic example of how a state can thrive without interest, and how it became a buzzing economy, obviously with the Turkish corridor, goods coming in through the Turkish corridor, electricity supplied by Turkey, etc. But it's a model, economic model for us. So unfortunately, when we left, there was much fighting carrying on in the Suwayda province, the Druze, and now the Syrian army backed off. There was intervention from other powers as well. Ahmad al-Shara was given refuge to come to Turkey. He refused at that point that he will remain in his country with his people. And generally, people hold him in very high esteem for his justice, the way he has carried himself. Allah knows best. But when we hear propaganda, especially from Shia, rejected with the contempt it deserves, there were more Sunnis killed in Syria by the Shia Kilab than by the Zionists in Palestine. Let us understand this. There were more Sunnis killed by the Shia than they were killed by the Zionists in Palestine. So let us understand who our enemies are. And let us contribute in whichever way we can, alhamdulillah. So many projects have been taken by the South African NGOs, among them the rebuilding of massages, the rebuilding of schools, educational institutions, the rebuilding of other infrastructure. They need our assistance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed our communities, alhamdulillah, with immense wealth where we can assist a country now trying to come up and become a bastion of Islam again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring peace, serenity, tranquility and afia in that Mubarak land of Sham. There are areas we visited like Al-Ghouta. Ghouta has been described in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This area was under siege for 5 years. 5 years, 2013 to 2018. It's completely destroyed. Totally destroyed. There are other areas like Mukhayyam, Yarmouk. If the Shia were so passionate about the Syrian people or the Islamic cause, there's an area called Mukhayyam Yarmouk. This is the largest Palestinian population outside Palestine, like how in Durban we have the largest Indian population out of India. So this entire area was completely removed of all the Palestinians. They were mercilessly brutalized in this area and they eventually fled to Idlib. Most of them fled to Idlib. This area is also completely destroyed. Approximately 160,000 Palestinians lived in Mukhayyam Yarmouk. So this is some of the atrocities that the Shia have perpetrated with the aid of Russia in Sunni Syria. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us the tawfiq to understand who our enemies are. Give us the tawfiq to understand. And let us not become emotional and carried away with theatrics, fireworks, etc. Let us understand realities on the ground. One only understands it when one is on the ground. One understands the realities of his situation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us all tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.